Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Confession time. I love my hair, but I don't love how long it takes to do it. I'm a type 4 natural, and not gonna lie, when it's time to redo my wash and go because it's frizzy or dried out, it drives me nuts. In a perfect world, I could be using that time to do something fun like getting a massage or going to brunch or something. I know you get it because we are all too busy to be frizzy. I'm glad that Way understands this and created their new anti-frizz cream at just the right time. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. Way anti-frizz cream fits seamlessly into the mix of products I use to do my wash and goes and twist outs, giving me smoother and intensely hydrated feeling hair. I also love that I only need to use a little to see a big difference, plus it smells really, really good. Frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE. Hey, hey, you're listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a space for Black women who are intentionally blooming as we honor our wholeness, our healing, and our humanity, and we're doing these things in a world that simply does not. I want to go ahead and get into today's episode. I'm going to be talking about reimagining our lives after grief. Reimagining our lives after grief. And I'm going to be sharing a personal story. So I want to give you a heads up that this might be a trigger for you. If you have experienced grief from the loss of a child or abortion or things of that nature. So if that sounds like something that might trigger you, then you may want to press pause on this episode and find another episode to listen to that might be more in alignment with your spirit. Definitely. Okay. Because I don't want this to be a triggering experience for you. Okay. So before I get into today's episode, though, I do want to say thank you. Thank you so very much for being the best part of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Honest to goodness, every email that I receive where you are sharing a part of your soul with me, a part of your history, your experience, the things that you are healing from. Every time you listen to the show, every time you share the episode or the podcast on your social media, in your stories, every time you leave a rating and review or you leave a comment in the rating or in the review, like on iTunes, for example, I read those and they really just touch me in a way that I cannot even express to the fullest by way of this podcast. So I just want to say thank you a million times for being the best part of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, sis. I really, really appreciate it. All right. So, I always forget this. Something that I did for self-care this week. I have been consistent with my meditation time, and that has been so amazing. I hit day 200, like 200 days of meditation a few days ago, I think it was. And for me, meditation looks like and feels like it's
stillness time, taking time to just breathe, talking to God, walking, I'm trying to think of other things, journaling, things like that. So I hit day 200 a few days ago. And some days, literally all I could do was take like 2 minutes to breathe. And that was it. And some days it was 20, 30 minutes, some days even longer than that. But I'm just thankful that I've been able to get into a good rhythm and do it in a way where I don't allow my perfectionism to take over. My perfectionism tries to say, oh, it needs to be done this way. It needs to be this length of time every single time. I'm so glad that I don't listen to that little voice that tries to keep me stuck and rigid in how I do what makes sense for me. And that voice can be so strong, y'all. If you are a perfectionist, you know what I'm talking about. Like, oh, you only did 2 minutes of breathing today? That's bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, just resisting that idea that I have to do it in a way, for example, that's pleasing to the world, or in a way, I don't know, but I just don't. I try my best to do what makes sense for me in that day, in that moment. And I allow myself grace and understanding that every day is not going to look the same. Every day is not going to be the same. Every whatever. It's life, and it's not going to be the same every single day. It's okay for me to have a routine, but my routine doesn't have to be exactly the same every single day. Same for you. Because those routines, those habits, they're definitely helping us when it comes to healing and prioritizing ourselves and shifting our mindsets and healing from the effects of like oppression and trauma and things like that. I think it's very important. I think it's very important, but I don't believe it has to look and feel the same every single time. Because we're not the same person every single time. And sometimes we need a little more of this. And sometimes we need a little less of that for it to make sense. Are you feeling me? So yeah, I hit 200 days and each day has not been exactly the same. It hasn't. Okay. So that's what I did for self-care in the last few days. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into today's episode. I want to talk about grief. I want to have a real talk, grown woman conversation with you. This is going to be pretty much no holds bar. because I want to share this part of my story. I want to, as much as I can remember anyway, I want to share this part of my story. And I'm using this episode as a way to hopefully remind you, even though our experiences may not be the same. I just want to remind you that grief is a normal part of life. Our feelings, our emotions, like it, our experiences, it's all valid. And there are options on the other side of it too. There are options on the other side of that pain too. All right. So my story. This conversation's coming up because I've noticed a recurring trend, if you will. And that trend isn't something that happens every day, every week, every month. It's just every once in a while, something will pop up and it'll kind of like trigger it. And I'm like, oh yeah. You know what I mean? Have you ever experienced that? So for me, the thing is when I see mothers with their children, with their small children, sometimes I'll have this feeling of grief pop up. I'll have this feeling of grief pop up because though, yes, I do have one child and I love my daughter to pieces. Love her, love her, love her. She's pretty much an adult now. But I haven't shared with you that I technically would have had two children. I would have been a mom to two kids. And if I had the second child would be today, maybe 7 or 8 years old, possibly. I'm not exactly sure of the age, but, what happened is maybe back in 20, I want to say 2013, maybe, possibly 2013, somewhere in there. I got pregnant, and my daughter would have been maybe 11 or 12 at the time. And I was in a situation, I was in a relationship where there were red, the flags weren't even red. The flags were, what's beyond red? I don't even know. The flags were like fireworks, right? Weren't even red. They were beyond red. It was just fireworks. And the relationship just was not for me. And so I made the decision to have an abortion. I made the decision to have an abortion. And I'm sure that for my followers of Christ, you might be clutching your pearls right now. You might have caught the vapors. Hey, I get it. But it happened. And that is what I felt was the right choice for me at the time. And I do not apologize for it. I don't apologize for it. So ended up having an abortion because I knew in my heart that the relationship that I was in would have been a snare. It would have been a trap. I would have been stuck. And this version of Bree that's talking to you now, this is, I guess, technically future Bree. If we're thinking about this Bree that you're listening to now versus the Bree from 2013 or whatever year that was, I wish I would have allowed myself to even journal through that, but I didn't journal through that experience. So I don't even know the exact year. I didn't keep any paperwork on it. It was just like I just swept this pain under the rug. I just swept the whole experience under the rug. But this version of Bree that is talking to you now, I wasn't the same 10 years ago. And we all are different 10 years ago, right? We grow, we change, we shift, we expand, sometimes we shrink. But I was not a healed version of myself back then. I was a doormat. I was just accepting any old thing in my life at the time. It's just a whole story. It's a whole situation. And I knew that if I would have had this child, it wouldn't have been good for me. It wouldn't have been good for me physically, emotionally. Like, it wouldn't have been good for me. It wouldn't have been good for my life. It just wouldn't have. I don't even know if I would be sitting here today. And I know that sounds really major, but you have to understand that, again, old Bree, just from all the pain and grief and trauma and all that stuff, like, I was not in a position to have a child. I just wasn't. I just wasn't. So again, I swept all of that under the rug and literally just allowed my body to heal. Never really talked to anybody about it. Never really grieved the situation. It was just like, I just emotionally swept it under the rug, excuse me, and went on about my life. Tried to pretend that I was okay. Pretend that life was good. I was all right. You know, I just made this decision, and you know what I'm saying? I didn't even really think about the repercussions. I just thought about, I had to get out of the situation quickly. It was a lot. And so because I didn't allow myself to grieve, like the five stages of grief, actually, I believe there's more than five stages of grief, depending on who you talk to. But the basic five stages of grief include anger, denial, bargaining, acceptance. I know I'm forgetting one. Anger, denial, depression. Denial, anger, depression, bargaining, and acceptance. I didn't go through those stages. Not really. And so I believe that that's why now it's starting to pop up for me. Starting to pop up. I mean, I did go through some of the stages, like for sure, depression. I've talked about that before. But there's been so many things in my life to have happened that I feel like depression, plus I'm pretty sure that depression is in my lineage as well. And that makes me so nervous because I don't want my daughter to have to go through any of that. You know what I'm saying? But I just kind of went through things and didn't really think about why I was going through the things. I just dealt with the, how can I say? I dealt with the physical part of it, but I didn't really deep dive into the emotional part of it, if that makes sense. So yeah, so now we're in 2023 and it pops up on occasion. I'll see a mom hugging her child and I'll be like, oh my God, that could have been me. I see a mom at the park with her children, her littles and things like that. I'm just like, you would have had two kids, but you don't. That could have been you, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I want you to know that if you swept some things under the rug, as sometimes we tend to do, don't be surprised if things start to kind of pop up just seemingly out of the blue. I think that's, I don't know if that's normal or not. I'm not an expert. I'm not a therapist or anything like that. But I believe that it can definitely happen at any time. And also with this grief, keep in mind that it's not necessarily always going to be like this linear thing where you're going to hit step one and it's going to take this amount of time. Then you're going to hit step two and it's going to take this specific amount of time. Then you're going to hit step three and then step four. And then magically you get to acceptance and you can now breathe, woosah, and all is well. Maybe that happens for some people. I can't speak for everyone in the world, but it definitely, that has not been the case for me. You might jump around from anger to denial to bargaining to depression. Then, oh, man, I thought I healed from that, but now I'm back to bargaining. And oh, I thought I healed from that, but now I'm back to just anger over the situation, right?
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, and I am so thankful for that, y'all, because healing is a whole process. How can we be okay with setting boundaries, inviting more joy and rest into our lives, or loving ourselves more if we've never been shown how to do so? Encouragement and tools from podcasts like this one is definitely one way, but sometimes we need more resources, and that's okay. You have permission to get what you need, how you need it, so that you can go from struggling to thriving. This is why I strongly believe in therapy. Listen, we all have a story. Mine includes stress, major trauma, and depression, and therapy helped me live a better life. Your story may be a complete 180 of mine, and in case you're wondering, yes, girl, therapy is still for you too. Everyone can benefit from therapy. If you've been on the fence about therapy, I want to encourage you to give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is designed to be convenient and flexible, which means it's all online with availability that meets your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BGselfcare today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/BGselfcare.
Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Your girl is a homebody, so one of the best parts of the day for me is when I can come home, put on my comfy pajamas, get snuggled up on the couch, and enjoy something to drink while catching up on a TV show. The thing is, though, that I don't want to drink wine all the time because, though I love it, I'm no longer a huge wine drinker like I was back in the day. I have morning headaches and even inflammation to thank for that. So, to help fill that gap, I've been enjoying Recess Mood as a guilt-free way to unwind. Recess Mood really is a vibe, y'all. There are only 20 calories per serving, no added sugar, and it's infused with stuff I like, including mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, which really helps me to relax after a high-energy day. Recess Mood has four delicious flavors to choose from. My personal fave is Strawberry Rose. If one of your goals in 2024 is to drink less alcohol, this is the way. Give Recess Mood a try today and see how relaxed it helps you feel. You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/self-care and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement.
For sure. That's exactly how it's been for me. But I didn't allow myself to feel my feelings. I didn't allow myself to process any of it. So I would just go through it and keep shoveling it down. But I don't do that anymore. I allow myself to feel and to talk about it and to process and journal through it and, you know, all those things. And it's definitely helping. And so now I'm in a place, finally, where more so, because I still think about it, you know what I'm saying? But more so it's a brief thing. And I feel like I'm more firmly planted in acceptance for that situation, as well as a situation of the possibility that I may never get married. I've had the chance maybe twice in my life to get married. And both times I did not, like, it just did not happen. So part of me too is grieving that. And I think a part of it is for me just this romanticized version of life that kind of gets in my head that says, oh, this could have been you. Oh, you could have had that. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like this romanticized, like me just thinking that I would have had this ideal life if I would have made different choices. So kind of like bargaining still, you know what I mean? If I wouldn't have done this, or if I would have done that, my life would have looked like this. And there's no way to know how your life would have ended up. Again, we can't predict the future. You could have done all the quote unquote right things with the hopes of having this ideal life, and things could still go awry because life be lifing. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's just what pops up for me, from time to time. And feeling that grief about those situations. But I'm thankful because, like I said, more so these days, I'm in a place of acceptance. And not acceptance as in, well, woe is me, you know, I've just got to accept it. Life is bad and it is what it is. I don't mean that by acceptance at all. You know what I'm saying? That to me still feels kind of like, maybe like depression or anger. I don't know. But that's not what acceptance is for me. Acceptance feels better than that. And also I was going to say, like, as I went through some of the stages, at least in the past, when I went through some of the stages, what I didn't really consider is that I have some say in what my life can shift to. Even back then, I had some say of what my life can shift into. Again, not saying I can predict the future or not saying that I can control every single thing, because I can't. You can't. We can't. But I could have not let life pass me by in such a way, if that makes any sense. And I can't change what happened. You know, again, these things are in the past, but I can definitely move forward in ways that feel good in my soul, and so can you. Again, we can't go back in time. But when it comes to grief, what we don't want to do is just like continue to sweep everything under the rug, because it does come back. It does come back. And I don't know. I just feel like me being in this place of acceptance, it opens up a lot to me. And it obviously took me quite some time to get to this point, but I feel like with acceptance, like where I am right now, it opens up a lot to me. And like I said before, I feel like I am empowered, or I have some type of power to consider and have some say in what my life can look like from this moment on, because I'm a more healed and whole version of myself. And now I'm able to look at it through that perspective, or with that set of eyes. I didn't have that in the past. I didn't have the capacity to do that back then. I didn't have the capacity to consider that, you know, I had a say in some of the choices that I could make after those things happen. You know what I'm saying? So again, we can't change what happened in the past, but we can definitely get to a place where life feels more in alignment, right? We can get to a place where we can move forward in ways that feel genuinely good in our soul. So for example, going back to the children, I'm not saying that when I look at kids, I'll never have that feeling of, oh man, I wish I would not have ... You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that that's the case. But what I am saying is that I have available possibilities. I have available possibilities. I have things I can focus on and prioritize. I don't have to just in that area of life or any area of life. But speaking of the children specifically, like I don't just have to let life pass me by. I can choose what I focus on and prioritize. So that's a question that I want you to ask yourself. Like if you're, you know, kind of moving towards acceptance in certain things in your life, like consider, are there some available possibilities for you right now? Are there some ways for you to kind of like shift your focus and prioritize some things in your life? Is there like an opportunity to explore something different than what you initially expected? So in my case, just off the top of my head, I could maybe consider being a foster parent. I can wait to see if my daughter has kids, which I don't know if she will or she won't. That's totally her choice to make. I will accept whatever she decides for her life. I'm not telling her to have kids. I'm not telling her to not have kids. This is her life, right? But you know, she in who knows, in 5-10 years, maybe she'll start having children and building her family with a partner. So I could wait to see if my daughter has children. Then I could be like somebody's nana or grandma or something, you know. So that's an option to possibly consider. And also in the village that I'm in, I have the opportunity to be an auntie. Some of the women, actually all of the women, have small kids. I'm the only one of the group of 6, I think, of us. I have the oldest child. Everyone else has that's not true. I don't have the oldest child, but one of the ladies that has the oldest child, she also has younger kids as well. So I'm the only one that doesn't have any littles, if that makes any sense. So as we continue building that village and that support and that community and sisterhood, I have the opportunity to be auntie to, there's at least 5, 6, 7 kids. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. So this village that we're building. I can be an auntie. I can have that role. And I'm sure there's other things I can do as well. I haven't really thought of it specifically right now. I'm just allowing myself to understand that there are available possibilities for me, right? So as I grieve, because I know now that I have possibilities that are available to me, doesn't mean that those thoughts are not going to pop up from time to time. That's just, I don't think that's how it works. I don't think that's how it works. So I mean, 6 months from now, I may still have that feeling like, oh man. Or again, if as I continue moving forward, because I will be 50 in a few years, I may have a partner, I may not. So even with that, you know, I want to just be aware and remember that there are possibilities for my life. There are possibilities for your life. Even though we've gone through a lot of struggle, a lot of turmoil, a lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of trauma and oppression, external and internal, right? And the effects of that oppression and things of that nature, we still have possibilities that are available to us. We still have a choice of what we mentally want to focus on. And we can reimagine what life can look like and feel like for us as we move forward in our healing, as we move forward in our liberation, as we move forward in just more self-awareness of who we are and who we see ourselves as or who we want to become. Like, we have possibilities available to us. This doesn't, again, mean that things are going to change tomorrow or overnight or anything like that. But, you know, girl, we have possibilities. We have possibilities. We have options. You know what I'm saying? Again, doesn't mean your situation is going to change like right this very minute. I'm not saying that at all. Sometimes it takes some planning. Sometimes it takes some preparation. You know, and I get that because that too has been my life. That too has been my life. For example, me grieving. I've shared my story about how I screwed up my financial situation. So definitely have grieved that. Definitely have grieved my financial situation. Oh my gosh. That did not change overnight for me. We're talking, honestly, years and years and years. And a part of that is because I wasn't really healed in that area or open to being healed in that area. I just really struggled with the whole money thing for several reasons. It was, and it still is, but not like it was in the past, but it was a huge struggle of mine. It was a huge struggle of mine, like the whole finance and money and all that kind of stuff. So definitely a lot of grieving there as well. The anger, the bargaining, the depression, the denial, like all of that stuff. Absolutely. But now this version of Bree in 2023 understands that I have options. I have possibilities available to me that allow me to rethink what my future can look like and move in that direction. And so if you are in a place of just grieving what you used to have or what you thought your life would be like, first of all, girl, I understand 1,000,000%. I overstand. I overstand 1,000,000%. I really, really do. My hope is that at some point, as you're processing, as you're healing, you allow yourself to rethink that idea that you had for you that didn't necessarily come to fruition. and know that there are still options and possibilities for you to have a beautiful, abundant, joyful, liberated life. 1,000,000%, I believe that. I believe it for me and I believe it for you. All right, so that's it for this week's episode. If you want to connect, you can email me at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, that's connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, @browngirlselfcare.com. That's it for this week's episode. Have a blessed week, and I look forward to connecting with you on Monday. Take care.